This audio is brought to you by Muslim Central. Please consider donating to help cover our running costs and future projects by visiting www.muslimcentral.com/donate.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Alhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen. As-salatu was-salamu ala Rasulillah wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in. All praise and thanks belongs to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And may the peace and blessing of Allah be upon His servant and final messenger Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. As thought follows, my dear respected brothers and sisters in Islam, assalamu alaykum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. With us tonight is the 18th dhikr from this series of explaining the morning and evening adhkar. And this one is a dhikr of al-masa', a dhikr of the evening, the afternoon. Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu narrated that the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, من قال إذا أمسى ثلاث مرات أعوذ بكلمات الله التامات من شر ما خلق لم تضره حمة تلك الليلة. Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu narrated that the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, whoever recites أعوذ بكلمات الله التامات من شر ما خلق means I seek protection in Allah's perfect words from the evil of whatever He created. Whoever does this, says it three times in the evening, will not be harmed by insect stings, yani the venom and the poison of the insect sting, during that night. In the same narration, right after it, Suhail ibn Abi Salih, who is one of the narrators of this hadith, he mentions, he says, our family used to learn it. They used to learn this dhikr. See the attitude that the believers have when they hear a hadith or a teaching of the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. One of the narrators wanted to mention a story of his, very short. He said, the family used to learn it and they used to say it every night. So not only learning but implementing as well, his whole family. He said, and a girl among our family, she was stung one night and she did not feel any pain. So there is a difference between al-darar wal-alam. The idea is a person might be afflicted by alam or other. A person might be injured, might be stung. But it's an injury that la yadur. It doesn't cause any pain or any suffering. He mentioned this story right after this hadith to show how they trialed it in their life and what effect it had in their own life. So this hadith, brothers and sisters in Islam, was narrated by Imam al-Tirmidhi and al-Nasa'i, Ibn Hibban, many others, and it was authenticated by Ibn Hajar, Ibn Hibban, al-Albani, and many others. May Allah Azza wa Jal bestow His mercy upon them all. And there is a similar narration that is found in Sahih Muslim, that Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu, he said, جاء رجل إلى رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم فقال يا رسول الله ما لقيت من عقرب لدغني البارحة قال أما لو قلت حين أمسيت أعوذ بكلمات الله التامات من شر ما خلق لم تضرك. A man came to the messenger صلى الله عليه وسلم. He said to him, يا رسول الله, I suffered immense pain from a scorpion which stung me last night. So the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said to him, had you said upon entering the afternoon, had you said, أعوذ بكلمات الله التامات من شر ما خلق لم تضرك. That scorpion, that bite, that sting, it would have not harmed you. It wouldn't have harmed you. Now, so once again, we find this in Sahih Muslim. Like in the first narration I gave you is the evidence that this is a dhikr of the evening, because it's mentioned that it is to be said in the afternoon three times. And this is not to be said in the morning. There is a narration that mentions the morning, but that is weak. So similar to it in the morning would be Bismillah alladhi la yadurru ma'a ismihi shay'un fil ardi wa la fis sama' wa huwa as-sami'ul 'alim. It's very similar. We've already covered that one. And also similar to that would be what? Who also knows? Similar to this seeking protection in Allah Azza wa Jal from the evil that He has created. We just said that. Huh? Surah Al-Falaq, ahsan. هذا هو سورة الفلق. Because within سورة الفلق there is قل أعوذ برب الفلق من شر ما خلق. Seeking refuge in رب الفلق من شر ما خلق. From the evil of whatever he created. طيب. But this one has a different wording. بكلمات الله التامات, which we will focus on بإذن الله. So we begin with this hadith. النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم said من قال إذا أمسى ثلاث مرات. So whoever says upon entering the evening three times. And this is from the etiquette of a dua, that it is repeated. Repeated three times, repeated more than that. And so we find that this one here is repeated three times. A'udhu. A'udhu, it comes from the word a'adha. And a'adha means to cling and to hang onto something for protection and not to let go of it. And you're hanging onto it for protection out of fear of something dangerous and evil and harmful. And they say in the Arabic language that al-uwadh are the shrubs and the plants that grow right near the tree. And those shrubs are the most protected because they're the closest to the tree. So the idea is those who commit to al-isti'adha, those who practice and regularly seek Allah's protection, are the most closest to Allah Azza wa Jal, and they are the most protected by Allah Azza wa Jal. Ibn al-Qayyim rahimahullah, he said, the reality of the word a'udhu is to run away from something that you fear to the one who will protect you. So you run to Allah Azza wa Jal with your body, your soul, and your heart, and you absolutely attach yourself to Allah Azza wa Jal, and you trust Him. And you are certain that He will protect you from the evil that you're running away from. This is what a'udhu is. If you wanted to visualize it, that's how it is. Even Ibn Qayyim rahimahullah gave an example. He said, imagine a child that had saw danger and he ran away. He's on a path and all of a sudden he sees his father. So he jumps onto his father and he hangs onto him. Right? But then Ibn Qayyim, he said, this is just a small example. Otherwise, an isti'adha is something big. You're running to Allah Azza wa Jal, who can most definitely protect you from all harm. Naam. And the attachment and the love a person has to Allah is much more than any one of Allah Azza wa Jal's creation. So al-isti'adha is a worship. It's a worship of the heart. You seek Allah Azza wa Jal's protection and no one else. And Allah Azza wa Jal informed us about people that sought the protection of other than Allah. And see the end result, what happened to them. In the Quran, Allah Azza wa Jalla said, وَأَنَّهُ كَانَ رِجَالٌ مِّنَ الْإِنسِ يَعُوذُونَ بِرِجَالٍ مِّنَ الْجِنِّ فَزَادُوهُمْ رَهَقًا. You see, the Arabs, when they used to travel, and they used to end up at a valley. So now they're going to enter the valley between two mountains. Scary. It seems to be a bit terrifying for whoever sees this. If you ever were to go to mountainous areas, and then you started walking between mountains, wallahi, subhanAllah, you're overwhelmed with this feeling of fear and anxiety. You're walking through mountains. So the Arabs, when they used to travel and get to these tight areas, they used to say, نَعُوذُ بِسَيِّدِ هَذَا الْوَادِي مِنْ شَرِّ مَا فِيهِ. They used to seek protection of the master of the valley. To them, that was al-jinn, Allah says. They used to seek protection in al-jinn from the evil that's in this valley. So they did not seek Allah's protection. They sought the protection of al-jinn. They said it in their tongues, by their tongue. What was the result? Allah said, فَزَادُوهُمْ رَهَقًا. Al-jinn, it only increased these people in burden and difficulty and pain and fear and terror. They became more worried and more scared. That's the result of turning to other than Allah for protection. It'll only increase you in fear and worry. Whereas the one who turns to Allah Azza wa Jal, then the understanding of the ayah is that he will not be increased in fear and worry. Rather, it will be a reason for why his fear and worry would reduce and reduce. You're seeking Allah's protection. Who's more powerful than Allah? Even the people of Ad that existed on earth and said, Man ashaddu minna quwwah, and they had power and might Allah had given them like He gave no other nation. And to the point where they said, who's more strong and more powerful than us? Allah would respond and say, أَوَلَمْ يَرَوْا أَنَّ اللَّهَ الَّذِي خَلَقَهُمْ هُوَ أَشَدُّ مِنْهُمْ قُوَّةً. Didn't they realize? Weren't they aware? The that Allah Azza wa Jal, the one who created them, was more powerful than them. And that's true, because where are they now? Where is Ad now? They're long gone. They're in the history. We read about them in the Quran. Right? So this statement of theirs did not benefit them. So from the ayah we take that anything that Allah created, He is more powerful than it. الَّذِي خَلَقَهُمْ هُوَ أَشَدُّ مِنْهُمْ قُوَّةً. So when you seek protection from Allah, the one who created all things, you're seeking protection by the all-powerful, the almighty. No one can overcome Allah Azza wa Jal. And so as a result, there would be no reason for fear and worry and concern in the heart of a believer. A'udhu is also a present tense, a'udhu. And we've said many times the present tense implies continuity. The idea is, so long as there is evil out there, you are continuously in need of Allah Azza wa Jal's protection. That you ask Him for His protection and you enter into His protection. So that's something about a'udhu. بِكَلِمَاتِ اللَّهِ التَّامَّاتِ. I seek protection, I seek refuge in the perfect words of Allah. There is another authentic narration, بِكَلِمَاتِ اللَّهِ التَّامَّةِ. So you can say both. أَعُوذُ بِكَلِمَاتِ اللَّهِ التَّامَّةِ. And at times you can say, أَعُوذُ بِكَلِمَاتِ اللَّهِ التَّامَّةِ مِنْ شَرِّ مَا خَلَقْ. No problems. We're going to speak about التَّامَّةِ and what that means. Let's focus on بِكَلِمَاتِ اللَّهِ. Seeking protection in the words of Allah. الْكَلَامِ كَلَامُ اللَّهِ. The speech of Allah Azza wa Jal. And that is an attribute of Allah Azza wa Jal. Al-Imam Ibn Abd al-Barr, rahimahullah, one of the great imams of al-Madhhab al-Maliki, he said that this hadith is absolute evidence that the word, the speech of Allah Azza wa Jal is uncreated. And this is of course the belief of the people of Ahlus Sunnati wal Jama'ah. We believe that the word, the speech of Allah Azza wa Jal, that was revealed unto Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and all the other prophets, is uncreated. The words of Allah, the speech of Allah is uncreated. Unlike some deviant groups like Al-Mu'tazila and so on, they mentioned that the word of Allah is created. If it was created, if the word of Allah, if the speech of Allah was created, then the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would have never allowed us to seek protection through it. Because it's not allowed to seek protection through something that is created. It's not allowed. And the evidence for this is when Allah condemned those who sought protection of other than Allah, such as al-jinn, and we said in the ayah, Allah condemned them because they sought protection of a created being, which is al-jinn. So if the speech of Allah was created, then it would be haram for us to seek protection in it. Therefore, there is absolute evidence in this that the speech of Allah is an attribute of Allah, and the attributes of Allah are uncreated. They are uncreated. And so in reality, when you are seeking when we're seeking protection in the speech of Allah, in the words of Allah, then in reality we are actually seeking protection of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We're seeking His protection subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this is completely different from making dua. See, when you make dua, you're not allowed to make dua through the attributes of Allah. So you can't say, Ya kalam Allah, ighfirli. We can't say, Oh speech of Allah, forgive me. We can't say, Oh knowledge of Allah, teach me. Oh ability of Allah, make it easy upon me. We're not allowed. This is haram. Actually, this is kufr. As Ibn Taymiyyah rahimahullah and others mentioned, this unanimous agreement among the scholars of Islam that anyone who supplicates Allah through an attribute of His, that is disbelief. But an attribute of Allah Azza wa Jal, we're allowed to seek Allah's protection through His attribute. No problems. Like, أَعُوذُ بِكَلِمَاتِ اللَّهِ التَّامَّاتِ. You're allowed to do istighatha through an attribute of Allah, like بِرَحْمَتِكَ أَسْتَغِيثِ. And we spoke about that last time in that lesson there. Okay. So what is كلمات الله التامات? Al-Imam al-Harawi, rahimahullah and others, they said al-kalimat, the speech, the words here, it refers to the Qur'an, because the words of the Qur'an are a blessing, they are beneficial, and they are a healing. Others said it is everything that Allah Azza wa Jal revealed upon His prophets. جَمِيعُ مَا أَنزَلَ اللَّهُ عَلَىٰ أَنْبِيَائِهِ. And these words of Allah Azza wa Jal have been described in another dhikr, بِكَلِمَاتِ اللَّهِ التَّامَّاتِ الَّتِي لَا يُجَاوِزُهُنَّ بَرٌّ وَلَا فَاجِرٌ. These words of Allah have been described somewhere else, that no human being, whether pious or rebellious, can go beyond them. No one can go beyond Allah's words. That's how powerful they are. What does that mean? Meaning no one will ever have knowledge to add to the words of Allah Azza wa Jal. Impossible. It cannot happen. And also, وَتَمَّتْ كَلِمَةُ رَبِّكَ صِدْقًا وَعَدْلًا. The words of your Lord are complete in terms of its truth and justice. What are you going to add? The most intelligent person on earth will never be able to add anything to the words of Allah Azza wa Jal, no matter how pious he is. Also, كَلِمَاتِ اللَّهِ التي لا يجاوزهن بر ولا فاجر means whatever Allah has decreed and whatever He has promised of goodness, of the paradise and al-na'im, and whatever Allah has warned of the punishment and the hellfire will definitely happen. لا يجاوزهن بر ولا فاجر. No one can go beyond them. Whatever Allah has decreed, whatever He has written, will most surely and definitely happen. لَا مُبَدِّلَ لِكَلِمَاتِهِ as Allah says. No one will change the words of Allah. No one will change the decree of Allah Azza wa Jalla, وهو السميع العليم. And كَلِمَاتِ اللَّهِ, the speech of Allah, has been described in this dhikr as التامات or التامة. التامات meaning the perfect words, the complete words of Allah Azza wa Jalla. And that means that the speech of Allah Azza wa Jal does not have any deficiency and any flaw and any fault in them. Unlike the speech of human beings. Our speech is full of deficiency and flaws and faults. No matter what we say, there's always something wrong and there's a flaw in it. But what Allah Azza wa Jal says, His words are absolutely perfect and complete in every way, shape and form. This is what At-Tammat means. They are complete, they are perfect. Because, why? Because they come from Allah Azza wa Jal, who is also complete and perfect. So His attributes are also complete and perfect. Right? Allah Azza wa Jal even would describe the Qur'an as بَلْ هُوَ قُرْآنٌ مَجِيدٌ, the honorable, noble Qur'an. وَالْقُرْآنِ الْمَجِيدُ. Allah Azza wa Jal also, from His names, Al-Majid. المجيد فعال لما يريد. So the Quran is described as Majid. Allah is Majid. It makes sense. المجيد produces a Quran that is Majid. Speaks Allah Azza wa Jal from his attributes, right? So التامات. So seeking protection in the perfect, complete words of Allah is seeking protection of Allah Subhanahu wa Taala Himself. Another said التامات. Meaning that the words of Allah Azza wa Jal are blessed, they are beneficial, they are sufficient, they are healing for anyone who seeks refuge in them. So, أعوذ بكلمات الله التامات, you are seeking refuge in the certain, absolute, unshakable words of Allah Azza wa Jal. It is huge. And so in reality, we said, once again, you're seeking refuge in Allah Azza wa Jal Himself. Because the attribute refers to Him, Subhanahu wa ta'ala. What are you seeking protection from? Min sharri ma khalaq. From the evil of whatever He created. So, you're not seeking Allah's protection from everything He created. You're seeking protection from the evil and the harm that is within whatever He created. Some things Allah Azza wa Jal created, there's no evil in them at all. Like the paradise. And what the believers enjoy in the paradise. So we're not seeking Allah's protection from that. We're seeking Allah's protection from the evil that exists in whatever He created. And so this is going to include many things. Even the evil matters that happen between mankind themselves and matters that happen between mankind and al-jinn kind. So ash-shar is like oppression. أعوذ بكلمات الله التامات من شر ما خلق. You're seeking Allah's protection that anyone does not harm you, because this is shar. Anyone, no one oppresses you. Rebellion, murder, cursing, al-jinn, possession, the possession of al-jinn, the harms of animals and insects. See, the animal, the insect might bite, but then that bite will not harm. That venom, that poison will not harm. From the hellfire as well. This is min sharri ma khalaq. From the hellfire. When you say, a'udhu bi kalimati Allahi tammat min sharri ma khalaq, this includes the hellfire. It includes the punishment in the hellfire. It includes the punishment in the grave. And it also includes the evil of your own self. You see, within us there is an evil. That even in Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in al-khutbah, he would say, وَمِن شَرِّ أَنفُسِنَا. From the evil of ourselves. وَمِن شَرِّ نَفْسِي. That also comes in the other hadith that we mentioned. That a person seeks refuge in the evil of himself. The self that calls you to al-haram and to disobedience and to follow those evil desires. So within this dhikr, you're also being aware and conscious that you are asking Allah to protect you from the evil of your own nafs. And so this is a very complete, profound dhikr. And we are in need of this dhikr, wallah, especially in this day and age. And where ash-shar has become widespread. What is ash-shar? Ash-shar is widespread. If you see a business district just down the road, if you walk down one road, 500 meters, not more, less than that, you will be exposed to at least 70% of the minor signs that the Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam spoke about. That's just 500 meters. You'll see the pubs, the liquor, the alcohol, the drunk people, az-zina, the banks, al-riba, the masajid that are empty, the masajid that people don't pray the sunnah in them. This is also from the signs of the hour. Al-jahl. Jahl becomes widespread. Ignorance becomes widespread among the people. I've been visiting a few schools in Melbourne and in Sydney. I asked them, what is al-Islam? No one knows what Islam is. The actual definition of Islam in its three parts. No one knows. They'll tell me, arkanil. I'm not asking about the pillars of Islam. I'm asking, what is Islam? I ask, what is at-taqwa? At-taqwa, what is it? This, yani, at-taqwa is mentioned 200 times in the Quran. And students don't know what at-taqwa is. So after half an hour, they get a good understanding, some understanding of what at-taqwa is. So al-jahl is widespread. And this is all from ash-shar. Ignorance is shar. When you're saying, a'udhu bi kalimati Allahi tammat min sharri ma khalaq, you're asking Allah Azza wa Jal through His perfect names that He save you and protect you from ignorance, that shar as well. And so that would inspire a believer and a person who says this dhikr to stay away from the shar. You're asking Allah to protect you, stay away from it. Do things that keep you protected from this shar. And seek knowledge, so that knowledge gives you the light out of the shar of this world. That's what it does. You know, you think of the shar as darkness. You're in this dark world. How can you navigate without light? You need light. Even on the day of judgment, when the believers are walking on the sirat, it's very dark, completely dark. Allah Azza wa Jalla lights up the path. But the light is not batteries or solar power. The light is your deeds, your actions. نُورُهُمْ يَسْعَى بَيْنَ أَيْدِيهِمْ وَبِأَيْمَانِهِمْ. The light shines, and that's their righteous deeds. So in this worldly life as well, you need light out of this shar. And this light is knowledge. Knowledge is light. Allah Azza wa Jalla says, أَوَمَنْ كَانَ مَيْتًا فَأَحْيَيْنَاهُ وَجَعَلْنَا لَهُ نُورًا يَمْشِي بِهِ فِي النَّاسِ. أَوَمَنْ كَانَ مَيْتًا. Allah Azza wa Jalla tells us about a person that is maitan, dead. Dead here meaning maitan bil kufr. He was upon disbelief, ignorance, but has no clue about the greatness of Allah. فَأَحْيَيْنَاهُ. We gave him life. Life here meaning we gave him life upon Iman and Islam. And then as a result, what happened? When he learned an Islam, جَعَلْنَا لَهُ نُور. We gave him light, we made for him light. يَمْشِي بِهِ فِي النَّاسِ. He walks among mankind with this light. He's saved. He's got his light. He knows his direction, his path. He's going to Allah Azza wa Jal. Yet despite the shar that is around him, it doesn't affect him. So this is why this dhikr is very important. It opens up an entire discussion for why we need to seek knowledge and learn and always be attached to Allah and ask Him for His protection so that we don't fall in a shirr of today. The people in the hellfire, they're all there because of shirr they fell into. All of them. Not a single one is in the hellfire because of khair he did. Khair is in the other side, he's in the paradise. Everyone is in there. And that remains in there forever, it's because of shirr that he did. And the greatest of them is a shirk. So, al-dhikr hadha, you just sit down with the word ash-shirr. We just contemplate and think. And this, by the will of Allah Azza wa Jal, will bring you closer and closer to the deen of Allah. Because the deen of Allah is all khair. And the closer you are to Allah's deen, the more khair you will be. And the more khair you are, the further away you are from ash-shirr. That's the equation, right? So that's why we need to learn al-adhkar. We need to understand them. We need to learn our deen, al-Qur'an. We need to be memorizing from the ayat of Allah. The more we have, the more khair you have. The more khair, the further away you are from ash-shirr. But this is very important, brothers and sisters in Islam. طيب أعوذ كلمات الله التامات من شر ما خلق لم تضره حمة تلك الليلة. He will not be harmed by insect stings, venom and poison during that night. And even if it was a sting, we said, it will not harm him. And this, of course, is based on the level of certainty in the heart. It's according to how certain you are in the heart. You see, the more certainty in the heart, the more effect this dhikr will have on you. And the less certainty, the less effect it will have on you. And we discussed this many, I think 2 years ago when we started the program, and we said that muqinan biha, in one of the adhkar, Sayyidul Istighfar, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, whoever says it, while absolutely certain in every aspect of it, then such and such reward will be given to him. فالعلماء رحمهم الله, they said this certainty is not only limited for that dhikr, rather that's the attitude that the believer is supposed to have with all the adhkar. With certainty. Right? And from the ways that he can develop certainty, yaqeen in the heart, is by understanding al-dhikr. That's where you start. That's where al-yaqeen begins from there. By understanding your deen and what Allah Azza wa Jal wants from you. Right? We mentioned the incident of Suhail ibn Abi Salih and his experience with this dhikr. Remember, he said his family learnt it and his daughter was stung once, one of the girls in his family, and she wasn't harmed. Imam al-Qurtubi rahimahullah, he mentions his own story with this dhikr. He says, this is an authentic hadith. He says, its authenticity is proven through evidence and trial. Through evidence, because the chain of narrators are all correct, they are all fiqat, and so as a result, the hadith from that perspective is authentic. And he said, it's also authentic from a trial perspective. I tested this in my own life. So he says, since I heard this hadith, I began to implement it. And I was never harmed by an evil thing out there. He said, until one night I was bitten by a scorpion when I was in Al-Mahdiya. Al-Mahdiya is a city in Africa. He said, so I reflected upon that day and I realized that I had forgotten to say it that evening. So he said, I said to myself, yani in a reprimanding manner, he was scolding, lecturing himself that night. He said, I said to myself, what the Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam said to that man that was stung by the scorpion. Remember what the Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam said to him? He said to him, had you said upon entering the evening, أعوذ بكلمات الله التامات, it wouldn't have harmed you. Said, subhanAllah, شوف, يعني, just observe this narration. And I wanted to share it, just to observe how people used to engage with the teachings of the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. You can be sitting alone and having this discussion with yourself, motivating and inspiring yourself through the teachings of the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. This was their day-to-day life. We ask Allah Azza wa Jal to make us something like them. By the way, we're mentioning that the hadith mentioned exactly about scorpions and the sting of a scorpion and so on. So it'd be good to just mention something about a scorpion. and that the scorpion is permissible to be killed in Islam. Rather, we are encouraged to kill the scorpion in Islam. When Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam once, he was bitten by a scorpion while he was praying. Aisha radiallahu anha, she says, and this is an authentic hadith, that لَدِغَتِ النَّبِيَ sallallahu alayhi wa sallam عَقْرَبٌ وَهُوَ فِي الصَّلَاةِ. He was bitten by a scorpion while he was in the salat. Ali radiallahu anhu, he says that scorpion had actually bitten the Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam when he placed his hand on the floor. So he was most likely going into the sujood position and then he was bitten. And when he was bitten in a salat, he took his shoes. His shoes was close to him. And he killed it with his shoe while he was in a salat. And then after salat, فَلَمَّا انصرف, after the prayer, he said, لَعَنَ اللَّهُ الْعَقْرَبِ. May Allah curse the scorpion. لَا تَدَعُ مُصَلِّيًا وَلَا غَيْرَهُ أَوْ نَبِيًّا وَلَا غَيْرَهُ إِلَّا لَدَغَتْهُمْ. It doesn't leave a person, whether he's praying or not praying, even prophets, except that it stings them, it bites them. Then the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam requested a bowl of water with salt. So salt mixed with the water. فَجَعَلَهُ فِي إِنَاءٍ ثُمَّ جَعَلَ يَصُبُّهُ عَلَىٰ إِصْبَعِهِ حَيْثُ لَدَغَتُهُ. And then he began to pour from that salty water on the wound in his hand where he was bitten sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. وَيَمْسَحُهَا. He was wiping it. وَيُعَوِّذُهَا بِالْمُعَوِّذَتَيْنِ. And he was reciting قُلْ أَعُوذُ بِرَبِّ الْفَلَقِ قُلْ أَعُوذُ بِرَبِّ النَّاسِ. So that is perhaps العلماء رحمهم الله mentioned يعني a remedy that a person may do if he's stung by an insect, by a harmful insect. And al-aqrab, especially the scorpion, may be killed whether you're in ihram, in a state of ihram, or other than the state of ihram, because it's from al-fawasiq, it's from the harmful insects, and it may even be killed in a salat. So a person in his salat may move, may do that necessary move to kill a harmful insect. Now, يعني, does that mean the cockroach and that? No, because that's not a harmful insect. You stay in your salat for that. طيب. One more hadith related to this dhikr, and that is that this dhikr can also be said, and it is recommended to say any time you enter a place. So it's not only limited to adhkarul masa. We said in the evening it's recommended there, you say it three times. But then also, you're recommended to say this dhikr in any place you enter. This is a hadith in Sahih Muslim. Khawla bintu Hakim al-Sulamiyya, she said that she heard the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam say, "Man nazala manzilan, thumma qal, a'udhu bi kalimati Allahi at-tammati min sharri ma khalaq, lam yadurruhu shay'un hatta yartahila min manzilihi dhalik." The Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, whoever enters a residence and then he says, "A'udhu bi kalimati Allahi at-tammati min sharri ma khalaq," nothing will harm him until he departs from that residence. Sheikh Ibn Baz, rahimahullah, he defined what al-manzil is. What is a manzil? He said this, it includes, if you entered an aeroplane or a car or a bus or a train or a boat. So basically, manzilan, in my research, tried to understand what manzil is. Ulama rahimahumullah mentioned that a manzil is a place where you eat, you drink, you sleep, you rest, and you relieve yourself. So if that's for example, you went on a boat, and obviously when people go on a boat and for hours, on the boat there is food, there is drink, people rest on the boat, and there is a place to relieve yourself, so most definitely say, أعوذ بكلمات الله التامات من شر ما خلق. When you get on a boat, on an airplane, that's the same thing. Maybe in a mobile caravan that people have, probably a car, Allahu alam, I don't know, Sheikh, you said car. But generally, you got the idea. Manzilan is somewhere where you're sitting and you're there for a while. So if you say that, the evil and the harm of that place will not affect you by the permission of Allah Azza wa Jal. And we said according to your certainty. The more certain, the more protection. The less certainty, the less protection. طيب. Brothers and sisters in Islam, that concludes that dhikr.